Accountability is God's job. But it's not solely God's job. No, it's our job too. We will be the plan. We are never going to give up. When the truth is known to the entire world, we are going to have extreme accountability.
Good evening and welcome to the Stu Peters Show. Since the October 7th Hamas attacks on Israel and the IDF's invasion of Gaza, noticing has reached new heights. Defying threats and intimidation efforts from Jewish supremacists, the internet has entered this era of digging deep into the influence of Zionism on the United States and, quite frankly, across the planet. Zionism, a Jewish supremacist ideology, centers around the belief that the Holy Land belongs exclusively to the Jews, not to Christians, not to Muslims, not to any other group that's lived there for long before the 1948 founding of Israel. To go along with Zionism, the rest of the world, especially Christians, must reject their own religious beliefs, and in turn, they must reject the divinity of Jesus Christ. This is because under Zionism, it's claimed that the Jews must not only dominate the Holy Land, but use it to construct the third temple, where they'll await the arrival of their so-called Messiah, who, as the Bible teaches us, will actually be the Antichrist. That should really make us wonder. Who's in control of the Israel-worshipping Protestant churches in this country where the national flag of Israel, complete with the satanic star of Remphan, hangs alongside crosses? It serves as an ever-present reminder of just how deeply the Zionists have penetrated virtually all of our institutions. Now, knowing that to subscribe to Zionism, you must abandon Christ, it should come as no surprise that Jewish Zionists have been at the forefront of promoting homosexuality and abortion, replacement migration, central banking, all of the societal ills that we're facing today. In Israel, they can even give safe harbor to pedophiles convicted of heinous crimes against the children in countries like here in the United States under Israel's Jewish supremacist right to return laws. This has actually happened recently. We'll get into that in just a moment. Though American citizens and others are being censored and declared anti-Semitic for questioning the secular nation state of Israel and the Jewish supremacist ideology of Zionism, the usual intimidation routine just isn't working this time. For the first time in modern history, Zionism and its motivations are being widely discussed in the public square by the Goyim. By the way, Goyim, or Goy for short, is the derogatory term that Jews use to describe Christians and Muslims and all other non-Jews who they view as animals under Talmudic law. Jewish Zionists are controlling or trying to control nearly every single aspect of daily life, all of our governmental bureaucracies, all of our institutions, from the education of children to the foreign policy that will guide America for the next 100 years. And they're doing so with the complete and total destruction of Christianity in mind, especially Catholicism. For example, just days ago, Jewish Zionist Adam King, who's marked himself as the Jew of InfoWars, went full mask off as he told Vincent James, who we recently had on this program, that if he had his choice, he would destroy Catholicism. The Jews, King said, hate Catholics even more than they hate Muslims. That must be a lot of hate, considering the treatment that Muslim Palestinians are getting from them right now.
You had to get rid of one religion, and it was Islam or Catholicism. Which one would you get rid of?
Great question.
Duh.
What?
What'd you say?
Catholicism.
What?
Yeah.
Keep that video in mind the next time you think about nearly every single member of Congress being on the Zionist payroll. It's not an understatement. It's not an overstatement. Even worse than that, a massive proportion of Jewish legislators in both parties are dual U.S. Israeli citizens. Even a supposed Christian, Representative Brian Mast, is so loyal to Israel that he joined the IDF, and after Israel went to war with Hamas, he showed up to work at the U.S. Capitol in the uniform of Israel's military. Since then, war criminal Zionist thugs in the very same uniform have killed tens of thousands of Palestinian children. It appears to be an ethnic cleansing or a genocide of sorts. With their influence over Congress, the Zionist Israel lobby has completely dominated American foreign policy for at least the past 50 years. If you take things back even further, they've been actively subverting our country since at least 1913, founding of the Federal Reserve, which sucked America into the global gamut and turned Christian-founded countries into a nation of usury. But let's be honest, it's been going on a lot longer than that. Brother Nathaniel Kapner is an Orthodox Christian priest. He's also an ethnic Jew who was born into anti-Zionist Jewish family before later accepting Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior and converting to Christianity. Brother Nathaniel was recently seen on InfoWars, where he detailed the intricacies and, frankly, the evils of Zionist beliefs, much to the chagrin of the program's host, Alex Jones. But Brother Nathaniel's views have been cultivated firsthand. Growing up, his influential father deliberately exposed him to the movers and the shakers of their Jewish community, giving him a front row seat to their racially and religiously motivated treachery. Brother Nathaniel has explained that the Jews have vitriolic hatred for Jesus Christ and for his followers. They even treat the word Jesus Christ as a curse word and oftentimes spit after uttering the name of the one true Messiah. Thanks to the efforts of the ADL and others to destroy Christianity and do away with it completely, the way of life that we once knew so well, Brother Nathaniel says the time is now to expose just what the Zionist agenda is and why we should be concerned. He joins us now. Brother Nathaniel, thank you so much for coming. We appreciate it. Why is this such a danger, and why are people just now starting to talk about this?
All right, let me start by saying this. In 1913, there was no Zionist project in America. The issue is Jews. If we keep on saying the word Zionists, exclusive of Jews, the Jews love that, okay? Because Jews would say, well, I'm not a Zionist. I'm all for a two-state solution. I'm all for a balanced view. This is just bull, okay? The problem is Jews. It was the Jews who bribed Woodrow Wilson to get him into World War I because he was shacking up with a woman, cheating on his wife at Princeton. So Samuel Untermyer was a big macher in the Jewish world, and he put it to Wilson, you get us into World War I, or we expose you. That's what the Jews do. They blackmail and they bribe. So the problem is Jews. Jews are intrinsically, by nature, they are Antichrist. Moses said it as a warning. He called them a crooked and perverse generation. That was Moses in the Old Testament. We called it the Tanakh growing up. St. Paul brought it home to fruition and called them a crooked and perverse generation. They're contrary to all men. They forbid us to preach the gospel. They're dogs. Then our Lord God and Savior Jesus Christ said, beware of the synagogue of Satan. He didn't say Zionists. The synagogue of Satan. In case you missed it, in chapter 2 of the Apocalypse, he said it again in chapter 3. Now, the synagogue of Satan is a loaded phrase. Synagogue, it's organized, collective. Satan is evil, and the synagogue is international. The international synagogue. It's spread out globally. It's evil. They're Jews with the spirit of Antichrist. They're a crooked and perverse generation. They should not be in any position of authority or power.
So how did they gain all the power?
Ha ha ha! Money! They got the money. They got the franchise on counterfeiting. They made counterfeiting legal. Pick up your dollar bill. It's a Federal Reserve note. There's nothing federal about it. There's no reserves. Give me a control of a nation's money, said Mayor Amschel Rothschild. And then he spread it out through his five boys. And those five boys are still in various areas, including America today, by extension called the Federal Reserve. It's not federal. There's no reserves. Ron Paul put it very succinctly. They can print money out of thin air. That's why a Hershey bar, when I was a kid at 5 years old, I could buy it for a nickel. A Hershey bar today is $2.50. That's inflation in your mouth.
And this is taking place because of the Jews. That's what you're saying.
Because Jews have got the money. They pay off the hacks on Capitol Hill. You see, it's money and media. I'll give you an example. There was Charles Percy. He was the head of the Foreign Relations Committee of the Senate. He wanted to really take a balanced view, and he wanted to push his two-state solution. He was adamant about it. Well, the Jews don't want a two-state solution. You kidding? They talk about it. That ain't going to happen. So what did they do with Charles Percy? They propped up this guy named Simon. Kind of sound like a Jewish name. They put a bow tie on him to give him a brand. Because Jews know how to merchandise. So they started finding all kind of dirt on Charles Percy. Let me finish, okay? In the media, because the Jews run the media. They run the entire media and social media and YouTube, everything. They've got it locked up. It's very serious. It's very dangerous. So they started slurring him. They started slandering Percy. And they started pouring all kind of money into Simon's campaign. Boom! Percy's done. That's how the Jews operate. They're a wicked, crooked, perverse generation. Not a single one should be in a position of power. And I'll tell you what the Byzantine Empire did with them. But I don't want to be talking too much. You have to talk too.
No, I don't need to talk. I want you to talk. That's why you're here. You know, my audience is very aware of how I feel about all of this. And we have been talking about this infiltration into our government and in the media and the control of the narrative. And just recently has this become a mainstream conversation, especially since the tunnels got all kinds of attention in New York City. So I want you to talk more about this because I think that it's really important that people understand exactly what it is that you're saying.
Okay, the tunnel thing is a nothing burger. I still communicate with people in Chabad and Lubavitch. I studied with them for 3 intense years under Sholom Posner. Okay, but let's go back to the main issue here, not the tunnel ridiculousness. All right, so Jews should not be in any position of power or authority. Now, the Byzantine Empire, that's the common parlance, okay? They're called the Byzantine Empire, 1,000-year empire, began by Saint Constantine the Great, who created a Christian empire where you had symphony of church and state. They worked together. It was not an individualistic Christian situation. It was a national Christian state. Now, what he saw, that the Jews were a pernicious people. They were a crooked and perverse generation, contrary to all men of the synagogue of Satan, because they knew the Bible, and they didn't cut with scissors the Bible in those days. Now that the evangelicals do, like Anderson. He's part of the problem. Pastor Anderson is part of the problem. He's with the evangelical Christian camp. Okay, I don't care what his position is. He's part of the problem. Now, what St. Justinian the Great did in the 5th century, it was called novellas. These were laws. He put into law that no Jew could hold a position of civil authority, finance, or education. And they had a prosperous empire for 1,000 years because they understood what the Jew is. He has the spirit of Antichrist running through him. He has a deicidal curse that presses on his forehead. And I can tell you, can look at a Jew, they can look really good at the age of 20. But that deicidal curse, which they called upon themselves and their children when they told Pilate, crucify him, crucify him. His blood be upon us and upon our children. That deicidal curse works throughout every Jew. And the Byzantine emperors understood this about the Jews. Now, nobody killed the Jews. They lived a prosperous, happy life, but they were forbidden to be in any positions of authority.
Now they're in every position of authority.
Absolutely. They got it tied up. It's scary.
They're in the State Department. Really, they're making decisions
now,
about where we go.
Trump's going to change this? He can't. And Chi-Coms are not the problem. They're not the enemy. They're so tied into the whole international finance system. But they're biding their time. I know the Chinese. I know how they operate. They're biding their time. 10 years hence, they won't be part of it. But right now, they're playing a game, and they're part of it. So the Chi-Coms are not the problem. Jews are. Not Zionists. I go back to this. In 1913, with the Federal Reserve Bank that was pushed through by the Jews from Europe, and all the Gentile shills wanted part of it, there was no Zionist project in America. So it's not Zionism. We have to, Stu, drop the term. It's Jews. Don't be afraid of using the word Jew, because the Jews are now so emboldened because the Goyim have laid down. They get on television and they call out the Christians and they say Christianity is a religion of death. They just did this on MSNBC with this Negro woman. I forget her name. She's a pure leftist, and she works for a Jew named Brian Roberts. Brian Roberts is a Jew, and he owns Comcast and MSNBC. I used to live next to a Jew. Murray Rothstein. He owns CBS, Paramount Pictures, and MTV. This was in Brookline, Massachusetts, Newton, a neighborhood of Brookline in Boston. Murray changed his name to Sumner. Redstone. This Jew, I mean, he looked so Jewish, wants to pass himself off as a blue-blooded Yankee. We laughed at him.
So I'd like you to talk about that a little bit. If Jews are so proud, and you know, if Jews want to run every institution and all of our media and the central banks and the Federal Reserve, and they want to infiltrate and they want to occupy, why are they changing their names? Why are they hiding?
They're not anymore. They're not paranoid about it anymore. It's in your face. Okay, Jonathan Greenblatt. I call him Jonathan Greenblatt. He's hideous to look at. They're mostly hideous to look at. You can't even look at it because it's the deicidal curse that's intrinsic to their nature. Comes out on their faces. They look evil. They look hideous. They look like ogres. I don't, because I'm a baptized Orthodox Christian. I look beautiful.
So Islamic extremist Muslim radicals.
But let me get back to this, okay?
Yeah.
He's calling out Christians. He goes on Morning America for the useful goys. Okay, Brzezinski's, Zbigniew's daughter married this yuppie guy. I forget his name, on Good Morning America. Okay, so he gets on, he's calling out Christians. They're white supremacists. They want to destroy democracy, but he says Christians. You see, the Jews aren't afraid anymore because the goyim have laid down. You have it. Others have it. Jeff Rentz has it. There's many others that have it. But the majority of goyim have laid down. Give them their fries. Give them their widescreen TV. Bread and circus. Give them their six pack. Give them the football. The Jews know this. Do you think the Jews sit around and watch football? They don't. We never watched football in my Jewish home. We were watching Meet the Press, the David Susskind show, Jack Parr, Steve Allen. We weren't watching football. That was for the goyim.
Who they view as animals. They viewed the goyim as animals. Any Christian?
That's
any
a derogatory term in Hebrew. It means nations. Yeah. In the Hebrew Bible, it means the nations. But the Jews have turned everything around, in a derogatory sense. See, if I said something stupid as a Jewish kid, and I grew up in a very traditional Jewish home, my parents were both Jewish. And that's a very important thing for Jews. If you have Jewish listeners. Okay, racially, I'm a full Jew. Religiously, I'm an Orthodox Christian, baptized. If I said something stupid, I came from a very large outer family, uncles, aunts, the whole mishpucha, we call it. If I said something stupid, my uncles would say, you have a goyish kup. That means you think like a goy.
Just recently, Brother Nathaniel, I was also on InfoWars. I flew down to Austin and I was in studio with Alex Jones. And I pointed out this very obvious infiltration. I said, we're an occupied country. We don't have a government that's doing the bidding of the American people. They're not operating in foreign policy that is, you know, indicative or supportive or in line with the founding of this country, the founding under God, freedom, individual liberty, that they're all bought and paid for. And, you know, Alex told me that he thinks that the biggest threat is, you know, extremist radical Muslims and the Chai Coms. He kept on going back to that. And I said, well, I'm looking around objectively, and from where I sit, it doesn't look like the Chai Coms have infiltrated the cabinet. It doesn't look like they have overtaken our State Department. It doesn't look like Chai Coms or extremist radical Muslims are making foreign policy decisions or deciding how many millions of people we're going to bomb and how many trillions of dollars we're going to siphon through NGOs in order to activate the military industrial complex and enrich the fat cats in the DC Beltway. It doesn't look like the Muslims or the Chaikoms are responsible for opening up our border and infiltrating our schools with Marxist ideologies like critical race theory and the importance of transgenderism and homosexuality and the eradication of Christianity. It looks like Jews are doing that. So why do you suppose it is that he just keeps wanting to push back on that? I mean, even people that are supposed truth tellers, his whole network is called InfoWars. I got a lot of respect for what he's done in the past, but I'm very concerned about even, you know, independent, so-called dissident, truth-telling, alternative media broadcasters. They seem to be very, very relaxed on this and afraid to talk about this. Why is that? To what do you attribute that?
Well, maybe he's got sponsors and donors who are Jews. But he said at the beginning of the show that he's been watching my videos for 15 years. Well, why does he keep watching them? I'll just leave it at that. But the benchmark is this. You can talk about Muslims, slander them, criticize them. You're not going to lose your job. You can criticize Catholics, you know, slander them. You're not going to lose your job. You can talk about the Chinese and the Chaikoms and their enemies, their communists. You'll probably keep your job. Just say one word about the Jews. You're fired. Your reputation is ruined. What does that tell you? You know who controls and rules by those you cannot criticize. Voltaire said that in the 1800s. He was onto something.
So you said that the tunnel was a nothing burger. I want to talk I want to talk a little bit more about what you mean about that. We got to go to break. We'll be right back. More with Brother Nathaniel Kapner right after this. Welcome back to a special edition of the Stu Peters Show. We're here with Brother Nathaniel Kapner, who had said that the illegal tunnels in New York City that have gained a lot of media attention. And by the way, the Jewish-controlled, Jewish-funded media, BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, Soros's Media Matters, all of the major outlets, the New York Times, the Rolling Stone, are these all Jewish-owned and funded?
Absolutely. Even Jeff Bezos, the goy, he's a useful goy. He bought out so-called some kind of leverage buyout of Washington Post, but he still leases the building from the Meyer Graham family, Jews.
Yeah.
And it's a leverage buyout. So the Jews still control what he says.
So when all of this media coverage started about these illegal tunnels in New York City, it kind of was curious to me, because if the media wants to give it attention, that sounds like a distraction. But you know, these Hasidic Jews in New York City have their own ambulance service. They have their own police department. They defy, you know, law enforcement of New York City. They felt entitled and emboldened enough to actually riot and fight back against the New York City police when they were trying to cement fill these tunnels. So why do you consider this to be a nothing burger? Why shouldn't we be concerned that, you know, Hasidic Jews or Jews, the people who you've plainly stated are the enemy of our country, why are we supposed to not be concerned that they're running around under tunnels?
The Hasids are a very small minority within Jewry. I studied with them for 3 intense years, from the age of 20 to 23, with Sholom Posner. And any Hasid is listening to this, they know Sholom Posner. He's now deceased, not with his son, but with the big guy, Sholom Posner. I studied under him. With the Hasids, with the Lubavitchers. They're called the Lubavitchers in Pittsburgh, where I grew up. So I still have communications with Chabad Lubavitchers. I still do. They agree with me about my position against secular Jews and how they're pushing transgenderism and how they're pushing homosexuality, which is against Torah. When I say Torah, I'm not talking Talmud. I'm talking about the 5 books of Moses, which I know backward and forward from a kid. And I know the prophets too, backward and forward from a kid. Now, what you have with the Hasids and what you have in Brooklyn, which I know I'm very familiar with, because I even used to go to New York City because my parents were in the clothing business. Okay, so I'm very familiar with the whole realm. All right, I'm just going to make a stupid nothing burger story just short as possible. Every Hasidic shul, synagogue, already has a legal tunnel underground. Already. It's called a mikvah. It's the ritual bath. They have it underground. It's totally legal. Because they get the permit for it. The reason it's underground, because halacha, which is Jewish law, states that you have to have rainwater or natural water into that ritual water pool. So they put, they have a way to get the rain from the earth up into the mikvah, and then they can fill the rest with tap water. They just have to have a smidgen of it. That's why it's underground in Hasidic synagogues. All right, so it's already there. Now, during the pandemic, because I have friends in Chabad, I don't know, I don't want to say friends, people that still communicate with me, that I communicate with, now and again, because I was with them for so long, and I studied with a top guy, okay, Posner. When the pandemic hit, they did take the clot shot. Not a single Hasid internationally took that shot because they don't trust the government, because they're a state within a state within the state. They don't trust the government. They got their own rules. They got their own police cars, like you said. But they get permits for it. And so they pay a little money. They're in the diamond business in New York. That's $1 billion business. It's $100 billion business. Chabad is very wealthy. They got a lot of money. The diamond business is big. It's international. Okay, so I'm trying to make this as short as possible. They decided, okay, during this pandemic, they didn't take the clot shot. They had this social distancing. Hasids don't social distance. So they thought, let's take this tunnel and let's start moving it bigger in case we need to connect to the other Hasidic groups in Brooklyn. There's three major Hasidic groups, but I'm not going to get into it. So they started having some problems with a neighbor where the foundation started being compromised, and the neighbor complained, and the Hasids didn't do anything about it. So finally, the neighbor decided, a goy, to call a cement truck to get it fixed. The cops didn't call it. No cops were ever involved in this thing. Never. And the tunnel was only 50 feet long. They stopped building it. Okay, the cement truck comes, and the Hasids don't want any cement people coming into their shul and going underground. They don't want the goyim to defile their synagogue. So they started hassling the driver. They started hassling the cement workers. They called the police. Now the police come and Spartans are walking into their synagogue as a defilement. I don't have to say anything more, okay? Now the Jews gave some story. There was division. The Messianists who believed that Menachem Schneerson is the Messiah were digging the tunnel. This is just ridiculous. The whole community knew the Hasids was about the tunnel, about the pandemic, what they wanted to do. And the media bought into it, and the story's over. I don't think it's worth talking about. There's no sensationalism. Mattresses were for children that were down there where they were digging, or when the women were being dunked in the water for the mikvah, and they threw some toys in, and the kids got rowdy, so they threw a mattress down. I don't care if it was dirty or what was on it. It's a nothing story. See, I deal with facts. This is a distraction. Who cares about the Hasids? They're not in really power. They're not.
It has to be a distraction. I mean, it was given all the attention by the mainstream media.
Of course,
I knew it was
but
fake.
It's over. Yeah. It's over. It's just another detraction.
Well,
okay?
what's not over is this infiltration into our country. That's not over,
and that's what I have to get back to. We have Merrick Garland, Merrick Garfinkel, okay? Whose family changes to Garland. It's Garfinkel. Look at him. He's hideous looking. He's weaponizing the Justice Department against Christians. They hate Christians. I grew up with this. They want to destroy Christianity because the New Testament says the Jews crucified Jesus Christ, and St. Peter said, you crucified the Prince of Life, the Just One. He said it three times in three preaching sessions. The Jews don't want to hear this. They want to destroy the New Testament. So Foxman of the ADL started calling it hate speech. Oh, yeah. So if the goyim keep laying down, they will. They'll get it taken off the market, and they'll start closing down churches. Now you at least have a voice. a racial Jew who's an Orthodox baptized Christian with a Russian Orthodox church who's willing to speak up and expose the Jew. No Jew should be in a position of authority. They have the deicidal curse. They're a crooked and a perverse generation. They cannot do anything righteous. They want to destroy anything that the church teaches. Any mores like holy matrimony, like that, the anatomy that God created us with, male reproductive organs, female reproductive organs, for the perpetuity of the human race. They want to destroy that for the goyim, not for them, but for the goyim, and especially the white Christians, because it's only the white Christians that can form a political bloc, which they once had, that can resist the Jewish bloc. And the Jews understand this. Now, people want to call me a white supremacist. I'm telling you what the Jewish agenda is. They have to destroy the white Christian. That's why they hate Trump. It's not so much him, because he's totally in their system. Sheldon Adelson was his top sponsor, donor, and he still has a lot of Jew donors, like Carl Icahn, okay? He still has a lot of them. He needs them. He has to have them. He has to have them too for his finances. They can destroy him in a minute with all his real estate holding. In 1 minute, they can destroy him. Now, he can't do anything, but they hate his followers. They see USA, USA, God bless America, the wrapping on the American flags. This makes Jews shiver. Only I understand this. Only I. And I have to speak up, because I'm an Orthodox Christian and I see the enemies of the church. I see the enemies of America. I see the enemies of humankind. They are Jews. They're not Zionists. They're Jews. We have to stop this word. It's a deflection. It's a detraction. The Jews love it when we say the Zionist control, the Zionist manipulation, the Zionist lobby. It's Jews. If there was no Israel, we would still have problems. There would still be transgenderism pushed by Jews, homosexuality pushed by Jews, central banks, counterfeit money pushed by Jews. The Israel thing doesn't really matter. There will always be Jews in power, Israel there, Israel not there. That's the issue.
You know, we have money being, you know, one of the controlling factors. You said they have all the money. That's how they've been able to bribe and blackmail. This is how they've infiltrated and how they've occupied our government institutions. Our schools, everywhere that you look, our media, all over the place. But what about the church? I mean, if Jews are really the enemy of Christianity and want to eradicate white Christians off the face of the planet, why isn't the church standing up? Why do you have people like Pastor Greg Locke cheering on, you know, the obliteration of innocent kids, war crimes, and ethnic cleansing in Gaza? Why wouldn't the church? Why do you have so many of these church so-called pastors teaching that, you know, Jews are the chosen people, and that Israel belongs exclusively to the Jews? I mean, why are they doing that?
This is the evangelical Protestant camp that's influenced by the Scofield Bible that divided things into dispensations, the church age, but then the Jewish age, when really everything great happens. Not so much now, according to Scofield, but oh, when the rapture comes, everybody goes through the ceiling and all this garbage, which is not taught in the Bible. It's just laughable. Then the Jews will be in a national revival. Oh boy, this is going to be terrific, says Scofield. The whole world will become Christians because the Jews will go out and they'll preach the gospel. Only a small remnant until Jesus comes back. There's not going to be any great revival. So they bought into this whole thing. Oh, the Jews are still the chosen people. God has a plan for them. The Orthodox Church teaches that God has a wonderful plan for Jews, that they get baptized, holy baptism, according to the apostolic dictates, and join the Israel of God, the church, which includes Jew and Gentiles who are a new creation in Christ. That's a wonderful plan. That's what this Jew did, Brother Nathaniel Kapner. That's what this Jew did, and it's a great plan. So you have this guy like Pastor Anderson, and I did see that. Somebody sent that to me, that you interviewed him. He knows nothing about Judaism, nothing. And he wants to say, oh, he wants to come out and say that the Jews are not, or Zionism is not a good thing. He's in the evangelical camp. He's part of the problem. Plus, he slandered me. He said, I wear a dress. See, these are the kind of people, okay, that really are contemptible. So all of them are in this thing that they think the Jews are the chosen people. How can they be the chosen people when Christ said your house is left unto you desolate? When St. Paul said they're contrary to all men and dogs. And Jesus said twice, they're at the synagogue of Satan, and they're the chosen people? It's just so full of errors, this evangelical Protestantism.
So the church is going to lay down.
It has laid down. Not only has it laid down, they're supporting the Christ crucifiers. Do they have any humanity left in them? When this Johnson, who's just scum, the great Christian, my family prays at night. Are they praying for their children in Gaza, whose arms are cut off, who don't have a leg anymore? No, this scumball, Johnson, says there should be no ceasefire. He's scum. He's headed for hell. With all his praying, and I believe in Jesus. Faith without works is dead.
So, the bombing
in Gaza. Faith without love. Faith without love, 1 Corinthians 13, is dead.
The bombing
Where's the
of
love
Gaza,
for a human being?
Yeah. It makes you really question humanity, actually. We've identified this enemy. You've identified this enemy. We're not afraid to talk about this. I mean, we're very concerned about the future that we're leaving for our children. They're going to be fighting bloody wars. I mean, physical kinetic wars, as we've seen that, you know, the military industrial complex has no problems supporting and committing war crimes, all over the place in the name of spreading democracy. And this military industrial complex, which is controlled by people who claim to be Jewish, they're not even practicing Jews, are they? I mean, are these people really Jewish? Shouldn't the word be Satanist?
No, I wouldn't say that. That's too much of a generalization. Just call them Jews. That says it all.
Okay. Well,
because
a Jew
denies
to worship anything other than Jesus Christ.
They don't worship anything. They worship their race. Okay. You see, just the word Jew is you have the spirit of Antichrist. St. John said it in the first century. He wasn't talking about Muslims. He says, whosoever denies that the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, has come in the flesh, that's the incarnation, is of the spirit of Antichrist. In case you missed it the first time, he said it three times. Okay?
Right.
So we have to look when it's repeated, because maybe the Holy Spirit was showing the goyim will miss it. Okay, so say it a couple more times. Okay, I'm not putting words in the Holy Spirit's mouth. I'm being tongue in cheek. So they are of the spirit of Antichrist. So just the word Jew for the early church fathers and the Orthodox Church and the Russian Orthodox Church says it all. We don't have to say Satanism or Judaism is satanic. We don't say that. It's just a stupid generalization that Anderson will do. I don't like the man. Okay. I don't care for him. Just say the word Jew, okay? What does the word Jew mean? It means he denies the Messiah. He denies the most beautiful person who ever lived, the God-man, Jesus Christ. And they are of the spirit of Antichrist. That's very serious. And they have the deicidal curse. So just the word Jew is loaded. So when I say Jews run everything, people should get scared. Oh my God, these people don't believe in Jesus. These people deny Jesus Christ. These people fight against Jesus Christ. These people are the enemies of the cross, says St. Paul. If anybody really wants to know the Bible and doesn't have a scissors that automatically cuts out these passages, which evangelical Protestants do. We don't do this in the Russian Orthodox Church or the Greek Orthodox Church or any Orthodox Church for centuries. We don't use scissors.
Is this why Vladimir Putin is the boogeyman for the media?
He's no boogeyman. He's a devout Orthodox Christian.
Right.
I know people who know him. Yeah, boogeyman. Right. Well, the Jews hate Russia. They always have. Because Russia was always with the czars a Christian empire, a Christian nation, wherever you have a Christian nation, where a nation identifies with the church. The Jew is a second-class citizen. Jews don't want that. They want to be on top over the goyim. For instance, this Adam King, who broke all the rules that he set last night for this interview he did with me, debate. He broke all the rules. We were supposed to do 1 minute apiece. He did 10 minutes just slandering me constantly, ad hominems flying all over the place. So now he puts up on his Instagram and his Twitter channel, X, okay, that the moderator didn't do a good job, which he didn't. But then his Jew sponsor, his partisan that was giving him notes on his laptop the whole time to insult me, said it's a shame that the moderator let a Christian defeat a Jew. There it is in a nutshell. You see, this is Jewish supremacy. How can a Christian actually defeat us? Don't use this moderator again. Find another one.
Moderator or not, you know, yeah, I mean, it was it's a worthless cause to try to debate people like, you know, Adam King. The guy is vile and he's incredibly disgusting. Moving past that.
Agree.
Okay, so if the enemy were the Chi-Coms, and I just want to go back to this. If the enemy were the Chi-Coms, they had infiltrated us, they had overtaken us, they'd conquered us. You know, we've used words like serious and dangerous, or words that you have used to describe the Jewish infiltration, Jewish supremacy, Jews being in control of every one of our bureaucracies, making the calls for war, using the media to demonize people like Vladimir Putin and call him a war criminal, and the international court issue a warrant for his arrest while, you know, we just funnel hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars into the corrupt country of Ukraine that's led by a Jew that calls himself Volodymyr Zelensky. You know, if the Chi-Coms were doing all of this, it would be no problem to call them out. And then obviously we would come up with a plan to neutralize the threat that's being imposed on our country. What is the plan to neutralize the stated enemy now? I mean, can they be neutralized? Is this an attack that we just ultimately will end up just all dying and losing?
Well, we're not dying, we're losing. I mean, we're losing morally, we're losing culturally, we're losing our social adhesion. Mayorkas is not a Catholic. Mayorkas is Hispanic and it has a Spanish sounding name. He's a Jew. And he's just letting millions come in from all over the world because they want to destroy a white Christian composite majority in America. In 10 years, it'll be done. They want to destroy the whites. Now, are Catholic Hispanics going to take over? No. You kidding? They don't have the ability to do it, and they're not in any levers of position of authority. The Jews are, totally. So I get back to this point. Goyim, wake up. You are being annihilated. Physically, because you'll have your football, you'll have your fries, lots of ketchup you can pump out on your fries, okay? Because the Jew understands the goy and, you know, what satisfies them. And they'll have someone that can put tattoos all over their body, too, because the goyim kind of like that. So this is the problem. So you and me, Stu, can try to wake them up, but it's going to take more than that. It's going to take prayer. We've got to get down on our knees. Now, the Bible says this. If my people who are called by my name, Christians, were called by the name of Jesus Christ, it's a beautiful, wonderful name. We're called Messianists, the true Messiah, Jesus, who came to conquer death, and he did it to the death and resurrection from the cross. If we get on our knees, my people are called by my name, who get on my knees and repent. So we begin with ourselves. We repent for our sins. Repent for our failings. Repent for us not keeping Christ's commandments. And God promises, I will heal their land. Now, we have to do this. We have to do this individually, and we have to do this as a Christian community. We have to do this. Then there'll be a divine intervention. I see this as the only way now. Trump ain't going to solve nothing.
Nope.
He's so tied into Jewish finance, they could destroy him. They raise his interest rates like they did to Henry Ford. He's finished. That's the control Jews have.
I mean, we can't look past the fact that every single candidate goes over there and kisses this wall, and that includes Trump. And this is where the clot shot came from, isn't it? I mean, aren't these the people who are on their fifth booster over there in Israel? That there was some sort of a mandate.
Yeah, that's another story.
I mean, I definitely believe that there is absolutely 100% a physical attack happening right now. This is biological warfare.
It was saline. No one died in Israel. It's a saline solution. It was just salt water.
So why don't they want to take the shot that they say is so
good? They pretended they were doing it, you know. They weren't doing it in Israel. I just said it. It was saline.
And that was to show everybody we're taking our boosters. We're taking this shot. You all should too. So this was part of a depopulation plan and an attack on white Christians.
Moderna is an Israeli company.
Yeah.
And Jews are tied into the whole international pharmaceutical business, like Vyvek. Vyvek, he says these things and he's against Haley, you know, whatever. Okay, but I look into what is his business? How did he rise to any kind of position of, you know, prominence? Well, he's in the pharmaceutical business. Jews. I said, Vyvek's not going to do anything. Plus, he's got the wrong color of skin. You have to have a prop man, someone, you got to prop someone up. The next president is going to be Newsom. He's got the look, and the Jews will use him.
Gavin Newsom will be the next president.
Oh, yeah. I have no question in my mind. But even if Trump gets in, I mean, Alex Jones asked me, what do you think? Is there a chance he's going to get in? I said, well, I don't know. It'll either be rigged at the ballot box or rigged at the White House. Either way, the Jews got it tied up, especially with a guy like Trump with all his real estate holdings. I mean, they almost destroyed his Taj Mahal. So they had to bring this Rothschild guy in. I forget his name. They made him an economic advisor. He was working for bankruptcy issues for the Rothschild dynasty. I forget his name. So he made him an economic advisor, and he bailed Trump out from his Taj Mahal fiasco in Atlantic City. You see, I grew up in Judaism. I grew up in Jewry. My dad played the stocks. My uncle was a stockbroker. And the other uncle never worked a day in his life. He made millions in the 50s and 60s with stocks. So I know a little bit about, you know, international finance and the stock market. I know a little bit about it. So I go right to this thing, the money. I go right to the money.
And
it's not magic. Like Alex Jones says, the Jews have magic. I said, money is not magic. The money can buy a lot of things, including politicians. The only one who wasn't bought was Ron Paul. He should have never retired, made a mistake. No one listens to him anymore. In his Liberty Report, he's preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
Rand, what's he doing? He's wasting his time with Fauci. Fauci's not going to go to jail. Why is he wasting his time? End the Fed. We'll start with audit the Fed. Start there. So people can get warmed up to it. Well, what's this about? But Rand Paul has dropped the ball that his father started picking up and wrote a book about it. Fantastic book. End the Fed. No one's saying it anymore. They've given up on it. I haven't. But it's dry and it's boring. But that's the top of the food chain.
Yeah. The levers of power are all handed to Jews. The weapons for war that are killing millions of people. The financial contracts for war that contract to kill millions of people. Pharmaceutical companies that are unleashing weapons of biowarfare onto unsuspecting people. And then using the Jewish-controlled media to tell them that it's safe and effective while they're dying in record numbers. It's really hard for me to believe, Brother Nathaniel, that, you know, I think it's just us, isn't it? Isn't it just us that's saying this in the media? Everybody is so scared. Everybody's so scared to lose their income. You know, I'm I'm scared to lose my country. I'm scared for my kids to lose their lives. And I just don't understand how, you know, these people can go along with this. These the people that work in the media, the people that work in our Congress, 100% of them go to Washington, D.C., and they get the soul sucked out of them. They bend over and they take it up from these Jews. And I just don't understand how they can look at their own children with a clear conscience, understanding that this attack is happening and that they, too, are not exempt from this attack. I mean, do they think that they're going to be spared? Do they think that they're not next?
Well, it's human nature. You know, you people need money. People need to pay a mortgage. And the Jews promised them all kind of goodies. Like Johnson, he's paid off. There's no question in my mind he's paid off. Yeah. You see, it's what kind of flavor of Jewish control do you want? You want a Democrat committee? You have the Democrat National Committee, whatever you want to call it, okay? Jews run Republicans. Jews run Democrats. Yeah. And that's part of the program laid out by the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. Now, if anybody reads this and wants to call it a fraud or a forgery, I say it's impossible that a Gentile could write this. Impossible. Because there's so many layers of intrigue and deception that a Gentile who is more of an upright, forthright person could never contrive all these layers of intrigue. It was definitely written by Jews. There's no question about it. And I can take a Jewish intellectual and have him read it, and he'll agree with me. And I know some Jewish intellectuals. I do know some. And they would agree with me, and some of them actually support me. Because they agree with what I say. I have a fellow who was a PhD from Harvard. And I once said once on my videos that it started off as a Presbyterian seminary, and it's turned into a Jewish yeshiva. He started sending me money. He said, yeah, you're right. But he's an older fellow. He's my age, you know. He's in his 70s. I'm 73 going on 19. I got more energy.
You know, I do agree with one thing that Alex Jones said. This is all very exhausting. But, you know.
It is. But it doesn't exhaust me because I was exposed to this as a child. My dad used to take me to the Anti-Defamation League meetings run by B'nai B'rith. I saw it as a child because my father went to expose me behind the facade. That was my dad. Now, I'm not going to say he was great in all points because he would not allow me to look into and research who Jesus Christ was when I was denied that by my Shabbat school teachers and the rabbi. And my dad agreed with them. So I'm not going to paint him as, you know, Mr. Wonderful. But what he did do with me, my brother wasn't interested, neither my sister, but he saw that I was a questing child, that I wanted to see what's deeper. He saw that in me, and he would expose me to these things. And he would take me to, after the Shabbat service on Saturday in a Shabbat school, he'd take me upstairs to the big boys meeting, the big machers, the businessmen of the ADL B'nai B'rith meetings. And it was all about, not religion, politics. All right, this one's Reading for mayor. Is he going to be good for the Jews? Okay, well, the next Shabbat service or the next month, and the Jews would come from all over to these B'nai B'rith meetings, 200, 300, a big brunch, we called it, with lox and bagels, gefilte fish, sable fish, the whole thing. Okay, well, this one's going to be a governor. Who's going to be good for the Jews? It was never who's going to be good for America, never. Never heard it once. It was never who's going to be good for Pittsburgh. Who's going to be good for Pennsylvania? Who's going to be good for the Jews? That's how the Jews think. Now, I said last night to this Adam King, okay, who my estimation of him has gone down to zero, and it only proves that no Jew can ever be trusted. No Jew. Because we agreed behind the scenes it was going to be 1 minute, and we were going to fight it out. And then he exposes, this is what we talked about in private. Okay, it's just ad hominem after ad hominem. He just proved my point that Jews are not to be trusted. They're low lives, they're no good, and they cannot be righteous people. They cannot be forthright people. It's not in their nature. Okay, now, I lost my train of thought, what I was talking about. Can you remind me?
Well, what I'm looking for, Brother Nathaniel, is a solution. What I'm looking for is a way to actually really, you know, try to neutralize any threat that could impact the lives of my children and millions of others here in this country. I mean, the way that you're describing it is that if you had free and fair elections that weren't rigged and fake and stolen, even if you had a system that you knew was really working, nobody could actually ever garner the attention of the voting population unless they are funded. And they're only going to be funded if the people who are controlling every apparatus of our government agrees to fund them. And so the way that you're describing this is as almost unbeatable.
It's frightening. I see it so clearly, and I've seen this a long time ago. Okay. Now, it's now rigged at the ballot box, mail-in ballots, and the letting people coming across the border, and they pay the money to vote Democrat. But prior to that, let's take Ron Paul, for instance. The media kept on saying, well, he has some good things to say and hear this, but he's not electable. What does that mean? Well, the Jews know how to use these kind of phrases, and they use it over and over on MSNBC, NBC, ABC, because they're all Jews. And it's in the papers, the Wall Street Journal, which is run by a Jew. Rupert Murdoch is a Jew. And if they're not Jews, they're financed by Jews. So it's Jews. So you have this thing going around constantly. Ron Paul, he has some good things to say. Libertarian is a nice idea, but he's not electable. Well, what the hell does this mean? It doesn't matter. He's just not electable. So the Jews will use this, and it sticks into Goyim's brain. Because the Goyim can't think. The Goyim cannot think. That's why we need good leaders who can help the Goyim who can't think, to tell them, don't take this clot shot. But we don't have this kind of people. So the Goyim are at the coffee hour when at work. Well, I kind of like this candidate. What do you think of Ron Paul? Yeah, I like him, but
he's unelectable. Not electable.
Yeah, you're right. He's not electable. What the hell does it mean? The Jews got the Goyim all tied up in their brain. So it's already rigged. The media run by Jews. They're all Jews. And all the Goyim and Shiksas are run by Jews. I can't stand looking at the Shiksas. I look at them and say, you are run by a Christ hater. You are run by a Christ crucifier. Shame on you. Well, they put a good-looking shiksa, and she sounds smart, and she asks these searching questions. See, a guy like me, I laugh, because I was exposed to this by my dad. I was 6, 7 years old. The Goyim cannot grasp what I grasp. They cannot. Only a racial Jew can understand a Jew, and I can see the deicidal curse in them. You take, for instance, this ogre, this hideous-looking thing, who was a Supreme Court judge, and she kicked the bucket a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Why can't I think of her name?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Okay, if you look at her in her 20s, rather attractive, not bad. Okay, as she grew older, this deicidal curse, which the Jews called down upon themselves, and they told Pilate, give us Barabbas, a murderer, an insurrectionist, and crucify Jesus, the most beautiful person who ever lived. That should tell you a lot about Jews. And Pilate wanted to let him go, and they scared him that they're going to report him to the Roman authorities. Okay, he got scared. And that's the Jews had power in Rome, but that's another story. Okay, so you'd look at her, not bad looking, rather attractive, but as she grew older, this deicidal curse comes out, and she becomes hideous. She becomes an ogre. She becomes ugly. She becomes devilish. And if you notice, the guy, he owns PayPal. Peter Thiel owned it. Now Schulman owns it. His mouth turns down. Okay, it's a deicidal curse. He wasn't bad looking in his 20s, but that deicidal curse shows physically, it comes out. You take Garfinkel, okay, Garland, Merrick Garfinkel. Not bad looking in his 20s and 30s. Rather kind of handsome. Look at him now. That nose gets hooked. It's the mark of the beast. It's the mark of Cain that God has shown to the Goyim. Just look at their faces. Shouldn't that scare you, stupid Goyim? Nah. Give me my fries. Oh, the football game. Turn that on. Oh, look at that. Oh, he's tackling this.
There's not another platform, you know, in alternative media that's going to have this conversation. We just have to keep having it. We just have to over and over and over again. I mean, we have an enemy. We have an infiltration. We have an occupation. We're on the brink of being conquered. Our children's future is hanging in the balance. And, you know, people are asleep. And until we reach the masses, until we realize remedy and a solution, until we can neutralize the threat that is imposed on our children right now, imminent great bodily harm and slow death is being presented. You can call it not physical. Sure it is, because all those French fries and all that ketchup and all those processed sugars, this is all being done on purpose. Everything that the media tells you, everything that the Food and Drug Administration tells you, the HHS, all of these machines and mechanisms of infrastructure that are used to slowly kill our children. This is a physical war. This is a psychological war. This is an information war. This is a physical war. People are dying. People are being bombed right now, and people are actually cheering it on. And so until we reach the benchmark of success, which is neutralizing the threat, we won't stop having the conversation. We're not afraid.
We have to pray.
We
it's
do.
Prayer.
Yes.
We need divine intervention, and we'll get it.
Hit your
if
face.
Enough of us who call ourselves Christians, the name of Jesus Christ is a precious name that we're called by. If we get on our knees and pray, we have a chance, because the Jews can't pray. They don't even know who they're praying to, all right? They're basically praying to Satan if they do pray, because they deny the Holy Trinity. They deny Jesus Christ. You deny Jesus Christ, you have the spirit of Antichrist. We can pray as Christians. We have to get on our knees. This is our only answer. It's not the ballot box. It's not Trump. It's not Vivek. It's none of these people. They're all tied into the system. Now, getting back to the Chi-Coms, this is a very simple answer. China is biding their time. They make all our products. They make our Maytags. They make Nike. They make everything. They make our clothes. They make our underwear, Fruit of the Loom, everything. They make it. They make Cooper tires.
Pharmaceuticals.
And pharmaceuticals. And the syringes that the Klasha goes into. They make all this. 300, at least 300 major Chinese companies, which are tied into this offshoring and outsourcing, are on the New York Stock Exchange. Not a single Russian company is. So the Chinese are still tied into international finance, which is Forex, which is SWIFT, and which is letter of credit, and the stock market. They are not the enemy. There is not going to be war against China. It's just not going to happen. We won't have Nikes anymore. Okay? It's not going to happen. And that should tell you, they're not the enemy, and they're not really doing anything that's going to hurt us. No. The only thing they've done to hurt us is we have let the Wall Street Jews take all of our corporations. They run to write the stocks and send the manufacturing to China. It's the Jews have done this. So don't blame the Chi-Coms. Blame the Jews. Blame Jamie Dimon. He comes from a Jewish family of Thessaloniki. Okay? He's a Jew. Blame the Feinberg family that owns Goldman Sachs. I know who's behind the scenes here. It's not really David Solomon or the former guy Lloyd Blankfein. It's the Feinberg family. But no one knows this but me. So we have to speak up for Jesus Christ. My whole modus operandi, my whole raison d'etre, I am jealous for the name and teachings of the church that Jesus Christ set up, which the Jews are attacking. They can't attack Jesus. That's impossible, but they'll attack his church, they'll attack his teachings, and they'll undermine everything that's good. The goodness of holy matrimony, the goodness of your reproductive organs that are to be used for the perpetuity of human race in holy matrimony. They'll attack that. These are very, very wicked people. Not a single one should be in authority. St. Constantine the Great understood this. St. Justinian the Great put it into law. No Jew can hold civil authority offices, finance, nor could they be in education. They understood this because they didn't use a scissor to cut out the Bible, and they saw the Jews gave up all their chosenness by crucifying their Messiah. And Jesus Christ said, your house is left unto you desolate. You will not see me until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, which is a messianic confession. We say, blessed is he who has come in the name of the Lord, Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God, become man.
Some of the best advice that's ever been given, single-handedly, absolutely the best advice that's ever been given on this program, given just now by Brother Nathaniel Kapner. Get on your knees and pray.
I'm going to do that right now, as soon as we're done. I'm reminded this constantly of my spiritual authorities in the Russian Orthodox Church. Are you praying for the problems in this country and the world? Are you on your knees praying? And now I'm going to do it.
God bless you. Thank you so much for being here. We appreciate it.
It's a great honor.